I'm John Bond. Welcome to Move Yourself Happy. Made for fitness enthusiasts who want to make their passion their profession. Are you unhappy in your present job? Are you passionate about health and fitness? Do you want to release your true potential? If the answer is yes, this podcast is for you. I will be teaching you the specific knowledge that every trainer and coach needs to be successful. So listen closely as I share my expertise with you. So just like me, you can love what you do. Awesome. All right. Well, thank you for inviting me around, Adam.
No problem, mate.
Great to meet you.
And you, mate. Thank you for coming.
Yeah. And obviously, you know this chap here.
Yeah, indeed I do.
Shall I give a bit of a backstory?
Yeah, let's have a bit of a backstory then. So tell us about Adam and how you guys know each other.
Yeah. So I'm George. Hello, everyone. So I've been a personal trainer for a long, long time now, over 10 years. And that's how we met.
Yeah.
We met in the Perch gym, which is relatively close to where we are now.
Yep.
And you came in looking for a personal trainer one day, and I think I just so happened to be on shift. We got on straight away. We're very alike. We laugh a lot.
Yeah.
We like to be very positive.
Yep.
And we just got on like a house on fire, didn't we? And we thought to ourselves, well, why not have me as your personal trainer? And we trained for a long time. I can't remember exactly how long it was, but I want to say the better part of 2 years.
Getting more towards three years, I would say. And I achieved quite a lot in that time.
You did really well in that time. I think that that's something I definitely want to talk about today with regard to our listeners. Some of them might know someone with a disability and instantly think, oh, they're going to find training a lot harder, or it's going to be more difficult, and there's going to be more challenges. But I'd love to speak a little bit about your perspective on personal training, what it did for you, and like you say, the results that were made, because I don't think anyone basically what we achieved together was amazing, and you were doing some incredible stuff. Like, you were lifting yourself out of your chair on the TRX, you were doing all of the exercise on the cables and the bicep curls and everything.
I seem to remember I pulled myself from one end of the gym to the other.
Yeah.
Using your assistance and a bit of rope.
Yep. We got the battle ropes out.
Yeah.
And you pulled yourself, we tied them up, and you pulled yourself from one side of the gym to the other, which is amazing.
Brilliant.
With one hand as well.
Yeah, exactly. Would you maybe want to go into detail a little bit, Adam, about obviously like your condition and your restrictions, but then also how that has translated in you being a big inspiration and actually being able to do a lot of things that most people would probably think that you couldn't do?
Yeah, well, basically my condition is cerebral palsy. It affects the cerebellum, and it was caused by when I was born, a lack of oxygen to the brain, which affected my movement and coordination and stuff. But I live my life with no limits, disability included. The disability is only there if I let it be there. And quite often, it doesn't come into my life except when I go up to a shop and I haven't got a ramp or any other way of me getting into the shop without that assistant. But apart from that, it's basically non-existent in my world. You know, I can overcome anything.
It's amazing, man. Yeah. I think that's something that we always agreed on massively, was having that positive outlook on life and going through life with the cup half full rather than half empty.
Yeah. You know?
And always trying to be positive no matter what your circumstances.
Yes, because you're never guaranteed tomorrow. So always live in the now. And there was, I was speaking to a friend And they said to me, if you won £1 million tomorrow, would you take it? I said, no, because it's not guaranteed. So, basically, I just, if an opportunity comes up and it's good enough for me and it will get me out there like this podcast and everyone agrees, like my management and the people that are behind the scenes, then I take it. But if it's not suitable and it doesn't help me with my mission of inspiring the next generation of disabled DJs, athletes, whatever it may be, then as long as it helps my mission, then I will also take it. So.
Brilliant. Sounds like you've got a real strong sense of purpose then, Adam.
Yeah, well, I believe I got put on this earth to face the challenges and work out ways for other people to overcome them. And that is my purpose in life, because I would rather someone with my cognitive ability go through some of the negative experiences, but the majority positive. And if I go through them, I feel I'm in a good place to support those who don't have my confidence or get out there and go attitude. You know, if they don't have that, I'm there to support them, to say that they can do it no matter what. So podcasts like this help. So,
yeah, definitely. I mean, what you're saying there as well, be almost like being an inspiration to other people that perhaps experience what you're going through and what you've been through. But actually, even for somebody that hasn't got a disability, potentially, is going to be massively inspired. Because I'm sitting here now feeling massively inspired already.
Okay.
Thinking like, wow, you know. And also the fact that there's certain things, certain challenges that I might have experienced in my life. But actually, from a relativity point of view, they're quite small compared to what you're overcoming daily.
But I always think of challenges as sharpening the tools, and the challenges that I've yet to come across, my toolbox is only going to get bigger. So then I will become more experienced in a lot of different areas.
Love that. What would you say are your sharpest tools in your box?
My mind.
Like your mindset.
Yeah.
I'd agree with that.
Because if you want to do something, it's all to do with the mind. It's got nothing to do with disabilities, because I could quite easily lay in my bed 24/7 thinking, oh, I'm disabled, I'm this, I've got no life, I can't walk. But I don't. What I do is I get up each day and just battle on through. And every battle I turn into a success story, you know. And the majority of them, I win because I've got that winning mentality.
Yeah, that's brilliant. That's like the champion mentality, isn't it? The this ability that you have to have that mindset, is that something that you've had to work on, or did it come to a degree, did it come naturally to you, or it's definitely something you've worked at?
I think it's got a lot to do with my background. So, for example, like my family have never treated me any differently to like my brothers and sister, and they're of course able-bodied. So for instance, if I got into a bit of trouble when I was younger, I was treated no differently. So if my mum used to like ground me if I'd done something naughty or anything like that, and
you were naughty, Adam.
All the time. That's another complete podcast.
He's got a lot of stories, I can clarify that.
Yeah. Spencer, if you're listening or watching, get ready for another email, mate.
Yeah.
Shout out to my management, Spencer and Caroline as well. Thank you, guys. It's got a lot to do with my family and the way they perceive me, if that makes sense. So they gave me, basically, this is hard to explain. Physically, by looking at me, I have a disability. There's no ways of getting around that. You can see I'm disabled, but mentally I feel able-bodied. If that makes any sense.
Completely, yeah, that sounds
yeah. Awesome. Because I've come from a family that's very encouraging. If I've got anything to say, speak the truth, be firm, but fair, that kind of thing. That's where I get it from. But also, there's been times where I've had to, like, be mentally strong without any family influence or anything behind me. So I've had to do it myself as well, to a certain extent. And, I don't find life a challenge, because it's not me that's disabled, it's the world around me, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And for example, I've got a lot of gigs coming up in the summer. So I'm down in Kent, I'm going to Bournemouth, playing at Eats and Beats Festival.
Just for the listeners, so you're a DJ? I'm a DJ,
but my name's Adam, but also known as DJ Wills. You can find me on all my socials, DJ Wills official Instagram, DJ Wills on Facebook. I'm not on TikTok yet. But I will be for sure. I'm just going back to, I've got a lot of festival gigs coming up, and in the music industry, there's quite a lot of venues that aren't accessible for wheelchairs. So my way of getting around that is using a company called Remap, who are a charity who make bespoke equipment for people with disabilities. And so I had a long meeting with them, and they've made me a chair that can be carried upstairs. I can then be in a travel sling. Two or three or four people can lift me up the stairs in the travel sling, so the weight is distributed, so no one's hurting their back. And then I get carried up the stairs into the venue, sit in my chair that's been made, very lightweight, so it's easy to carry up and downstairs. And then there you go, my wheelchair's not an obstacle, because I've had that chair specially made, so I can sit in it all comfortably, but then people can carry it up and downstairs. So I can get in any venue now, thanks to Remap and what they've managed to design for me.
Sounds like a really amazing company there.
I'll give you a link so you can put it
Yeah, I can put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
Remapped,
was it? Remap, yeah. They're based, well, I think that you can go all over, but they've definitely got hubs in Sussex, Surrey, Hampshire, all that area. And you just ring them and you pay a small donation for their work, if you're able to. And then they can make things like cup holders to go on the side of your bed, or phone holders so you can have conference meetings without struggling to do it and stuff like that. So they are really useful.
Yeah.
And they will come out and assess exactly what you need, and then they just crack on with the work, and then you're set for life until you need them again.
That's great. If it wasn't for them, you think of all those young people who wouldn't have been able to reach for the lasers and
yeah. Exactly that. But before I was a DJ, I was I'm actually a qualified sports coach myself. So I've been in the sporting world for a long time, especially the disability realm of things. If you give me anyone with a disability, and you ask me to coach them wheelchair football, basketball, boccia, anything, I can do it without a problem. My business was Sussex Willpower. I started it in 2014, sadly ended in 2019 when lockdown hit, because there's only so much coaching, physical coaching, you can do online, especially when it's with people with disabilities. You need to be hands-on with them and make sure that the PAs know what they're doing and all that kind of thing. So then that door closed for the time being. I never say never, I might start it up again, and I don't know. But and then the DJ world opened for me, you know.
Yeah.
So I then applied online for several radio station adverts. One replied to me, and then I was on there for about 2 years. Then another opportunity opened up, then I joined that, and then when I joined House Music Radio, that's when a lot of the big opportunities started coming my way. So yeah, and it's just snowballed from then, really. And then in 2023 I made my debut in Ibiza, which was sick. Like, on record, I believe I'm only this second ever person with a disability in the world to go and DJ in Ibiza. But I'm the first DJ one-handed to DJ in Ibiza.
Wow, that's brilliant.
So, yeah, awesome. If you got a dream, aim, believe, achieve, follow it, and you'll get there.
Yeah. My week that I spent in Ibiza in 1998 is a lot more shameful than yours, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, but a great year for music, though.
Yeah, it was a good year for music.
Yeah, like
probably another podcast. John's week in Ibiza.
yeah, I'll definitely be working that. Yeah.
That was when Club 1830 was a thing. I think that's all been banned now. It's just absolute carnage. But
yeah,
I was probably still in the womb.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
When was it?
1998. It was actually my first.
I was seven or eight. So.
Yeah, and I was two. Hey, anyone else here want to make John feel old?
Yeah.
He does that a lot.
It's all I've got against him.
Yeah. There you go.
How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 34. 34,
okay. Yeah, so what am I? 45 this year. So how old are you? So 98.
I would have been 7 or 8.
Yeah. 7 or 8, yeah, okay. No, yeah, I do feel old. Cheers, guys.
Yeah. Cool, anyway, Adam.
Yeah. Well,
moving on.
The mindset things really is interesting me so much because you mentioned coaching as well, and obviously, and I spoke to you off camera and talking about the fact that I run a business that trains people to be PTs.
Yeah.
And a big part of being a PT is helping people develop the right mindset. But I don't think we actually spend enough time on that and give that as the attention it deserves.
My angle on mindset, it's a relatively simple thing to grasp, because if you have a goal, what I do is I take a long time to think about my end goal and what it is I want it to look like, and use the narrative SMART targets to achieve the overall goal. I don't give myself time limits to achieve things, because then that just puts pressure on unnecessary pressure on what you're trying to achieve. And when you put unnecessary pressure on yourself, that is when mistakes start happening. So I visualize, because I've got a photographic memory, what I want it to look like, and then I iron out what could be the hurdles, focus on the biggest hurdle first, because that will take the longest to solve, especially if I'm waiting for someone else to do their job before I can move on to the next part of the goal. And just a lot of it's just down to whether you're visualizing the right thing for you. Because if it's meant to be, it will happen.
Exactly, mate. Just like everything that we do.
And
I love that you mentioned SMART targets, because that's something that I use. You clearly use it. I know John uses it, but John also teaches it to his students. And I'm just thinking, in case there's any students listening or any fitness enthusiasts who are willing to become fitness professionals in the future who are listening and are interested more in SMART goals, I don't know, John, if you wanted to talk about what they are and if you use them still.
Yeah, so for our level 2 gym instruction course, we teach SMART goal setting. We teach it for level 3 personal training. We teach it for level 4 strength and conditioning, level 3 exercise referral. So it's across the board. We also teach it on the degree course at Worthing College for the sports psychology. So it's a massive thing. And you're exactly right, Adam. It's being very, very specific over what you want to achieve. So you can't leave anything open to interpretation, can you? You've got a very clear vision. You're very specific about what you want. And then it's working out the steps that you need to take in order to get to it. And I like your approach, by the way, because in the SMART acronym there is the time frame aspect where you're meant to have a deadline. But I've always questioned that as well, because essentially we don't always know how long things are going to take, do we? All you know is this is the plan and I'm going to execute it. The results will come when they come, I suppose.
But one bit of advice I would give, and what I tend to use, is if I've got a lot of stuff in the back of my mind that I haven't already dealt with, then imagine if you get a glass of water and it's all cloudy. Think of that as your brain. The clearer the water, the clearer your mind. So if I go into something when the water's all cloudy, I'm not going to be able to see clearly to the end of the line where my goal is. So make sure you deal with what needs to be dealt with first of urgency, and then you have all the time in the world to make sure that glass of water is crystal clear so you can focus on the goal and the mission you have or you want to achieve.
Yeah, I love that. That's so important, isn't it? It's like choosing the right goal for the right time in your life, really, isn't it?
Yes.
If you've got, like, say you've got some serious money problems, you've got debts piling up, and, yeah, and you brush that under the carpet, and you
it's
go,
not going to go away.
No, it's not going to go away, and you go, well, I'll tell you what I'll do to distract myself from that. I'll go to the gym and I'll try and get ripped. And it's like, well, that's
that's good, but yeah, it's not going to help.
Not going to fix your problems.
Yeah. Those bills, is it? No, so you kind of do have to make sure that you're doing it at a time where you're in a good position to actually achieve that goal. So yeah, that's fantastic.
And the clearer the glass, the more you can see.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally see what you're saying, mate. Because if you've got this cloudy vision and you're wanting to go from A to B, and B is over there and you can't see it, you've got all these worries and all these emotions and all these thoughts clouding your path, then I absolutely see what you're saying. You're not going to see it. So you've got to deal with all those issues, all those worries, whatever they might be, insecurities, emotions, people in your life. Once you deal with those, it's like the pathway is there. Yeah, mate. So I wanted to ask about, there's a picture that I always see on your Facebook, which is awesome. It's you when you're really young. And what I love about it is you've still got the exact same smile. And you're doing karate or something, and you're in the newspaper. And I have a couple of questions with that. One, what is that? And two, you know how you say, like, your parents really inspired you with your mindset because they treated you the same as everyone else?
Yeah.
Did your parents put you on that path to be an athlete and to be as physical as you could be in terms of your sports and everything else? Or was that something that was entirely you? Like, is it in the family, your brothers and sisters?
So a lot of it, so that photo you're referring to, that was taken when I was around 5 or 6. And I made the Meridian News, and I got interviewed by Fred Dynage.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was actually the first guy with a physical disability to take part in karate.
Nice, yeah.
And I did that for about 2-3 years. Wow. And they raised some money for me to get a Chady Heritage Walker, which is a frame, which is a frame that I would be strapped into, and then I would go on to the walking part of it, and then the frame used to hold me up, and I used to be able to walk with that.
Nice. Okay.
So then, but yeah, so I did that for about 2 years. I think I got to maybe brown belt or something. And then I, like...
Is that one down from black?
No. Then you add second brown, and then you add first Q or whatever it's called, and then you add black.
Right, okay.
Like, so kind of close, isn't it?
Yeah, not close.
Yeah, I was in between, but as you can imagine, as I was getting older, I didn't fancy it no more, so, like,
yeah.
I just, like, done the rebellious thing, and like, I don't want to do it no more. Like, so, and the sporting element came from me entirely. Like, because when I was 12, I moved away from home,
okay,
and started at a boarding school for people with physical disabilities called Trelaw. When I went there and saw their sports facilities and all that kind of stuff, then that opened up a whole new world. So my sporting influence came from the boarding school and college, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
Because I was under the impression, apart from the karate, that people with disabilities weren't able to partake in sport because they had a special afternoon for people with disabilities at my mainstream school before I went to boarding, and that used to take place separate to all my friends when they used to do their sports, and they put it down to like being too dangerous for me to play sport around other able-bodied kids, even though I used to go out on the field and play football and get hit in the face with a ball. I like...
Before you went to the boarding school, which school did you go to?
I went to West Park.
Where's that?
Goring, Mervyn.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. So then I left there when I was 11 in year 6. And then I started year 7 at my boarding school. And then, yeah, that's where I excelled in sport. And then I represented England at Boccia, a really high level. And then I was competing one day, and I got an injury. My shoulder popped, and I felt it go completely. And ever since then, it's not been the same, no matter how much I try and go back to it sometimes. It's just never, like, my release isn't what it should be at the top level, you know. So, but like I said before, if it's meant to be, it will happen. If it's not, it won't. So,
yeah, such a good attitude, that. That's definitely something that I think more people need to adopt. Well, including myself, actually. But people need to adopt, you know, what will be kind of thing. Like,
one thing I will say is never let success get to your head, and never let failure get to your heart, because if you do any of that, then success will slow down.
Love that.
That's very cool. That's really good. So you talk about the sports, that leads nicely onto in the corner. There's, I don't know how many, but there's a lot of medals there.
1,000.
I wish. yeah, I mean, I like to think of my medals as the hurdles I've overcome. So each medal represents a challenge I've won. And luckily, in the corner, there's quite a few. And if a person with a disability can get various medals, I don't see why someone with 4 functioning limbs and a perfectly working cerebellum couldn't go and run a few marathons. You know, the world is your oyster. It depends how you use the world around you to its advantage. If you just want to sit there and eat McDonald's and watch Netflix, then that's all good for you. But if you want the world to see the person you say you are within, you have to let that be shown and show them what you're capable of.
Yeah.
And that's no different if you're physically challenged like me, or you're... Sorry.
Is that all right?
Or you're just clumsy like
George. Yeah.
No, that's fine. Or you're all able-bodied like yourself, George. Life isn't a barrier. It's the key to unlock your success.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's really good. There's a coach, he's a cross, have you heard of CrossFit?
Yeah.
One of the sort of the leading coaches in CrossFit, his name's Ben Bergeron, and he works with a lot of the elite level top athletes. But when he takes them on, one of the first things he does is he works on their mindset, and he teaches them that, very similar to what you said,
yeah,
about forget about where you place, forget about, you know, where you're going to come, just focus on giving it the best you can and making the most of every, you know, every event you enter. You just give it 100%, and the placing will happen naturally. And when one of his athletes, she fell off a rope, she got knocked out of a competition that she should have done much better in, he said to her that that's one of the best things that can happen to you, because that's a challenge now that you've got to overcome.
Yeah, yeah, you learn more from a defeat than you do a win.
Yeah, a lot of boxers say that too, don't they? A lot of, yeah.
And it's the same as being having a disability, really. It's, I'm constantly in competition with myself, and I kind of say to myself, okay, so you've written a book, you're a DJ, you're speaking to people at universities, trying to get them to be better in their field. What's next?
You've written a book?
Yes.
Why don't I know about this? That's awesome.
You don't know?
No. What is this book? When did you write that?
30 Years of Me.
I am Googling this right now. 30 Years and Me?
30 Years of Me.
Oh, 30 Years of...
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, there's not really much you haven't done now, is there? It's like, what...
That's so cool. Look at that.
Yeah, we'll get that.
That's
awesome.
Do you
want us to put that in the notes as well?
Yeah, yeah, you can do it. Yeah, so I've written a book all about my life and the ups and downs, how I came into the world and
yeah,
all this, and I nearly died 3 times and
really?
All this.
Wow.
Oh, light's gone off.
Lights out.
What's the next challenge for you?
The next challenge is to tour the world being a DJ. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm already signed by one of the biggest labels, Vandit Recordings, owned by Paul Van Dyke. So, yeah, I was signed with them back in 2022. So, hopefully, I will be playing or gigging alongside Paul Van Dyke in the near future in Ibiza.
Wow.
Maybe Thailand, who knows?
Yeah, I doubt that that's going to happen.
But yeah, the world's my oyster. It's up to me to make things happen. But if I start the process, then there's not much going to stop me, unless I forget the trick I mentioned earlier about not clouding the glass of water.
Yeah.
Mm. Keeping that fresh and crystal clear.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Yeah, but that's the next stage for me. Continue getting bookings, continue inspiring the next generation of disabled athletes, DJs, cooks, whatever you want to be, you can be, just because you're sitting on your bum, like me, for a living, doesn't stop you. And if it does, then maybe you need to tweak a little bit of your programming in your brain, because I often see my brain as a mixing desk, so I can turn up the fader switches to either super mature or super, or turn them down to super immature depending on who I'm with. So if I'm with my friends and I want to mess around, I turn my mixer down to super immature. So that gives me the freedom to be an idiot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, so...
Yeah, we know that very well, don't we, Sean?
We do. Yeah, we do.
A little too well.
So, and the other thing that's made my a difference to my the way I think and my mental resilience is, in actual fact, counselling.
Okay.
A lot of people perceive counselling to be a bad thing. But it depends what you use the counselling for. I use it to keep on top of my mental sharpness. And if I've got an issue that I need some tweaking or some readjusting or realigning within the brain, I go to my regular counsellor. And she just asks me some questions and helps me figure out exactly what is making the connection fall apart a little bit. And then she helps me to plumb it all back together. And then I'm back on the straight and narrow, you know. So counselling is a really useful and a safe way to keep on top of your... mental sharpness.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? You can, I find that when you say something to, well, a counsellor, a trained counsellor,
yeah,
they'll paraphrase it and say it back to you. And even just that thing that they do there, where they paraphrase and say it back to you and get clarity, sometimes hearing it out loud in somebody else's words, you're like, oh, okay, that's really giving me some clarity. And then they'll often... Like the more experienced counsellors, they'll challenge unhelpful thoughts, won't they?
Yeah, yeah.
And they'll say, well, do you know that for sure then? Is that definitely a thing? And then you're like, well, no, I don't know it for sure. And then you're like, okay, so that is just a limiting belief.
It's funny, we were saying earlier that is there anything I struggle with mentally? And to be fair with you, it's the counsellor... she gives me a really tough time and puts things into perspective that I didn't even think of, you know. But it's all about life is a big self-investment. And the more you can invest in yourself, like for me, counselling whatever it may be, life is one big investment, but there's just no money involved in terms of mentally.
Yeah.
You know, people think of investment of being money, and you need a lot of money. Certain things, yeah, you do need money, but to sort out like. Your health and your mind, your sharpness, that's just self care and that costs nothing. So the more you look after yourself, the more you love life, the more life will love you.
Yeah, that's really good. I really like that, Adam. You actually answered my next question. You've just answered it above and beyond.
Okay.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, for anyone out there who's listening and has a challenge coming up and they've got that sort of self-doubt in their head as to whether they can overcome it, whether it's, you know, becoming qualified as a personal trainer maybe, or whether it's to achieve a health and fitness goal, you know, what would you say to them? But I think what you've just said is perfect.
I mean, what I would say is you wouldn't have the thought unless you believed you could do it.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, yeah, love that. You wouldn't have had that thought unless somewhere inside you think you can do it.
Yeah.
I always love that quote by Henry
Ford. It's good, isn't it?
Yeah. I always love that quote by Henry Ford, whether you think you can or you can't, you're right. Which kind of is an agreement. So if you think you can, then you can. If you think you can't. You know, so it's all about thinking that you can, isn't it?
When I was 15, 16, I thought, you know what, there's got to be something more beneficial to life than what I'm seeing in front of me right now, and I'm seeing in a few years, I'm going to be in my own flat, living with PAs, having my own money, being a DJ, writing a book. I had all this in my head. I just needed to action it. And if you're like me, you just write a list of pros and cons. If there's more pros, do it. If there's more cons, don't do it. Because the cons represent danger and it could put you in more of a detrimental position than you already are in. So for me, am I safe here, living in my house? Yes, as long as I put things in place to make sure if there is an emergency, I know what I'm doing. But would I be safe living on the streets outside McDonald's? No. So that would be a con. But the pro would be, okay, I'm okay living in my house with PAs. And I've got measures in place in case I need anything. Just make a list of pros and cons and around your ideas. See what it really is you want to get out of your idea, and also make a list of if you require any help. Like, because I got taught when I was training to be a coach that there's no bad thing in asking people for advice, because that just makes you stronger. And instead of viewing asking for advice as a weakness, use it as a strength, because what you don't know, someone might know. So, for example, if someone asks you, George, a question about cerebral palsy, you'd be like, oh, I don't know that, but I know someone who does, and hopefully that'd be me. Yeah. You know, if I don't know it, then we're in trouble. Yeah. You know, but so always make a clear plan, or make a drawing of your idea, and make sure you're drawing the obstacles on a bit of paper or in your mind if you've got a photographic memory. And each time you overcome an obstacle, remove it from the drawing or your mind. And so that's one less thing to worry about, basically. But yeah, as long as you got a strategized plan in place and you know who you need to speak to if and when required, then the world is our oyster.
You know? You do definitely sound like a half glass full person rather than a half glass empty person. Mm. Do you say that's fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, it depends. Some people like my approach, but then others find it a threat, maybe, because I got a lot of questions. How do you do this? How are you so successful doing this? And I do kind of see it as a glass half full kind of expression, but then it's also about my self belief and my determination to prove society wrong. Mm. Because there's a lot of people in society who give me a round of applause for getting on the bus to go to Worthing, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and I'm like, if only you knew. So for those people who think people with disabilities should, because it's been told, and I will be honest, I've been told that I should have been put in a room on a bed and not to live life, basically.
Yeah, it's horrible.
So to those people who have said that to me in the past,
we all do it?
Thank you for your motivation, because without your motivation, I wouldn't be where I am today. So thank you very much. Good night.
Brilliant. That's a great place to finish.
That's a mic drop moment.
But before we finish, thank you for having me on.
Oh, thank you.
And I hope that I've at least inspired not just people with physically challenging issues, but also some able-bodied people who have, at the moment, a negative mindset due to maybe the place they're in or the route they've been used to. Hopefully this will inspire you to get the necessary help or change a few things in your life. And like I said earlier, if you love life, life will love you. No? So, yeah. If you want to follow me at any stage or you want to ask me any questions, please just drop me a DM at DJ Wills Official or my Facebook page, DJ Wills. And I look forward to your messages. And if you want to buy my book, it's available on Amazon, Waterstones, WH Smiths, everywhere. Probably the cheapest place to buy it would be Amazon. I'm not going to say that, but oh well.
Do you need us to cut that bit out?
No.
Stick it in there.
No.
We'll put links in the notes and stuff like that.
But it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you very much. And we'll have a chat some more off camera as well.
Definitely. Yeah, thank you, mate. Very inspiring, mate.
Have you got any more questions?
I think we covered everything we were going to say, but...
Yeah, I mean, we can just have a little bit of a chinwag off camera if you want. Just
Wicked.
We'll leave it there.
Thank you, right, guys.
Thanks, Adam.
All the best.
No problem.
Now, if you enjoyed today's episode, something you can do for me is subscribe to my show. And if you know anyone else that might be interested in this content, then please share it with them too. You can also head over to our socials and follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook and YouTube. But if you're ready to take that next step, visit our website, www.stormfitnessacademy.co.uk, fill out a contact form, that'll come straight to me, I will contact you shortly afterwards, and I look forward to speaking to you then.